Thank you, Chair. Yeah, in terms of just trying to crystallise the thoughts and the main concerns that were mentioned by Councillor Lowe, I think it is, correct me if I'm wrong, around noise and disturbance, and effectively the additional noise and disturbance arising from the comings and goings at the property. So the wording potentially, if you were minded to look at this, could be, in the opinion of the local planning authority, the change of use to a dwelling occupied by 8 residents would introduce noise and disturbance with an increased amount of cars arriving and exiting the property. Resulting in noise and disturbance to neighbouring residents to the detriment of neighbouring residential amenity. Then in terms of the policies, the relevant policies would be policies CS2 and CS4 of the adopted core strategy and policy EV1 of the local plan. And that is the and H13. And then effectively that would form a reason for refusal. I'm sorry, that's a bit wordy, but the essence of it is around noise and disturbance and the provisions of those relevant policies. Hopefully that will help, Chair. If I can just make reference, I think this links back to a point that was made earlier by Councillor Snart. And the previous reason for refusal, when it was a different proposal, there was reference to paragraph 17 of the previous version of the NPPF. Just to update you, that is no longer part of the revised NPPF. That previous provision related to 12 core planning principles, and that's no longer in the updated version. So hopefully that will give you a relevant area, if that's where members wish to go with the application. Thank you.
Councillor Snart, and I'll come back to you, Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Could I just add that I was just indicating about the amount of vehicles that could be parked on the front, which was a 2.4, and we're thinking about 4 vehicles. And I guess that would be around policy TR18. We could actually add that in, like officers' indication on that.
Thank you, Chair. I think as we set out previously, in terms of standing advice, the proposal would come within the parameters of standing advice. And when we're looking at guidance that's provided by the updated MPPF, which is fairly recent, there does have to be an unacceptable harm to the to highway safety or a severe residual cumulative impact on the highways. Officer's advice would, and fairly strong advice would be that that might be a potentially weak area in terms of an objection to this particular proposal when we're looking at a change from 6 bedrooms to 8, given the nature of the existing use and what is proposed this evening. Hopefully that helps, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to thank the officers for that. But could we also include in their community balance and the character of the area? Because the community balance would change significantly with 2 added bedrooms, because I do believe that would encourage more people to be visiting that site. So that would change the area. And also one more thing that I did mention was bin storage. I know in this committee has turned applications down for lack of bin storage. If we're creating another 2 bedrooms, another 2 dwellings in theory, surely they need another two bins, so therefore could we use that as well, Chair?
Again, I think that would be difficult. If you'd have seen the site earlier today, you'd have known that the rear garden was of a substantial size and there is access down to the rear garden. So to argue there isn't sufficient bin storage would be very difficult. I think, obviously, increased activities, and that might increase...
I have seen the site, actually, and the bins are just stored on the front. Now, if you put another two cars on there, there's going to be no room to store them bins on the front.
Sorry, Chair, through you. Yeah, I understand the concern and the contention, and I can see how that may have arisen. But I think the advice that Mrs. Jackson has just given is, again, that it's potentially an area that may not be sustained going through the complete process. So I'd caution against that. And in terms of the impact, and again, it's looking at the difference between what's existing and what is proposed, which I think certain members have definitely picked up through your debate this evening. The other issue around character is, again, looking at existing and what is proposed, and I think the level of difference in terms of what's existing and proposed, the character argument will be difficult to sustain through the whole process too. So my strong advice is, as we've already been through the noise and disturbance and general amenity reason, that could be a focus for members should you wish to proceed on that basis.
I believe that one of the officers wants to have a...
Just also wanted to pick up on the community balance, because obviously our guidance is very clear on community balance. But if I may... If I can draw members' attention to policy CS4. They're not on the desks. I'll read it to you. So, policy CS4, which is the house of multiple occupation, the exact wording I think is very important, and it will give you a steer. So it says, we will support the well-being, character and amenity of our communities by managing the proportion of houses in multiple occupation. We will do this by preventing houses in multiple occupation that either in themselves, which is what you're talking about here, or cumulatively, which is the 20%, with other houses in multiple occupation, they, and this is your points, damage the social and physical character and amenity of the street or residential area and generate noise and disturbance, which is detrimental to the amenity of the street or residential area. The third one, which I think is less easy to use, but you've got those two, generate a demand for on-street car parking that would prejudice the safe operation of the highway or cause detriment to amenity. Obviously, we've talked about the to-in and go-in, but in terms of highway safety, we've got the MPPF severe harm test. So they're the points on which we will be controlling. If you wanted to, the policy says we will control.
Right. We have got a proposal on the table from Councillor Lowe and Councillor Council to actually refuse this application under the actual acts of CS2, CS4, EV1 of the local plan, TR18. No. No. I've got it. No. Oh, is it? I gather it was Councillor Snart and said TR18, so we're... No?
The officer actually explained why mm-hmm. not, so I concede that. I think that...
Just the first three. May I just check with the officers, am I correct in actually proposing this for the people who proposed it and seconded it? That's all right, I'm used to it. Sorry, members of the public, we were trying to get this correct.
Yeah, it is those three policies.
How Right, can I start again? There's been proposed to go against officers' recommendation by Councillor Law and Councillor Campbell on the premise of CS2, CS4, EV1 of the local plan. Am I correct in that assumption? And I've got it right. Okay, I'm good. Yes, thank you very much for that, Councillor Grimley. May I ask the officer then to do an explanation on CS2, please? Reason of the refusal on CS2, CS4 and EV1. You're on. I'm not taking this job up.
Yes, Chair. It's considered by the, in the opinion of the local planning authority, it's considered that the proposed development will damage the social and physical.
Is that CS2?
CS4.
Character and amenity of the local area. And generate noise and disturbance, which is detrimental to local amenity, local residential amenity, contrary to policies CS2, CS4 of the core strategy and policy EV1 of the local plan.
Are we not looking at CS2 and EV1 as well? Is that all? Will that incorporate CS4?
That's what I just referenced. Yeah. Those
okay.
Three policies.
Right. I am now going. I'm going to the vote. Those for the actual officer's recommendation against. Yeah. Well, I'm Irish, aren't I? Those who have actually are for the recommendation against officer's recommendation. Those against it, for it, yeah, against, I got my grammar, yes, against the recommendation, 1-3. You're against the recommendation on the table? But yes, I just, you can imagine this, motion carried. The actual. Yes. So you're pulling your vote against. I know. So we're actually within, Michael, can I actually, do you want to go back to the vote again? Can I ask you to go back? No. The proposition is actually carried. Okay, thank you. It was refused. Thank you. Everybody clear on that? Okay, thank you. Sorry it took so long, but it's worth waiting for. Okay. Sorry if I confused everybody, but I don't really. Chair, can I actually ask something after? Because I think, could we all have the actual reference books in future at the side of us when we start planning? You know, what we used to have, please, because I think that's what caused a bit of the confusion. And I can confuse anybody, Chair, really.
If I may, Chair, those
folders are in the process of being updated at the moment because of changes to the MPPF and other things. Incorrectly, as it turned out, I took the view that better to give, not put them out rather than have incorrect information, but I've learnt my lesson.
Chair, I'm not complaining. I'm not doing anything to any of the officers complaining about them. They've done a marvellous job, but the fact was, you know, most of the committee were asking me and the chair where was the books, and I thought, okay, we'll carry on. Thank you, Chair.
And I take it, Michael, Mr. Hopkins, that we will have them for the next, for the 1st of October. Yeah, whatever. Whatever date it was, we agreed that we'd have the extra meeting. Thank you. And can I thank Councillor Ransom, please? I understand it was a very difficult first application. And I think you all did splendidly. Well done. Thank you. I am now going to move on, and I'm sure you'll be very happy to hear, to application item 2, please. On your agenda, application reference number P18/1397/2. Are you dealing with this, Jackie?
Yes.
Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair. So this item 2 is an application for the conversion of a single C3 dwelling into 3 self-contained units. Those units will be 1 one-bedroom unit and 2 two-bedroom units, and the application also includes the erection of a first floor extension to the rear. The application has been called to committee by Councillor Taylor, who has raised concerns regarding parking provision. So the site is on the corner of Woodgun Road and Edward Street. It's a corner property at the end of a terrace street. There's an aerial photograph. The application site, as I've said, currently comprises of a 4-bed, 3-storey dwelling and has a render finish to the base. So this is the property. It's got a very narrow frontage, but it's a very deep property. It's a substantial 4-bed property at the moment, and this is looking back, so it's this property here, and the extension will be located just here over the top of that single story element. You'll see from the elevations the actual extension isn't the full height. It has been stepped down substantially to reduce its impact. The other thing to point out to these garages just here, they are part of the application site. However, due to the construction, there's quite a big dividing wall down between the two, and the garage doors on the front, they don't actually meet current parking standards for garages. So for the purpose of planning and looking at parking spaces, the property currently has no off-street parking spaces, and that's important when you see what's being proposed. So it's a 4-bed house with no parking spaces currently. That's just a close-up to show the side elevation. And like I said, the extension will go above this single-storey element just here. So the rear extension will go in this area here. So these are the existing floor plans. As you can see, it's a traditional property with a lounge and second room to the rear with a kitchen. And at first floor, you've got 3 bedrooms in the bathroom and then another bedroom in the roof space. The proposed plans are for a first floor extension to the rear. That extension will be 3.39 metres in length and have an eave height of 4.27 metres, so quite low, and an overall ridge height of 6.2 metres. And the materials will match existing. The units are being split horizontally and not vertically. So I will try and explain that using this plan. So unit 1 will be accessed from the existing front door. It will have a living room on ground floor with a kitchenette, galley kitchen along the side. And you'll go up the stairs to a bedroom and bathroom above it. Unit 2 will be accessed from the street on the side of the property, which is an existing door. You saw it in the photographs and we looked at it on site today. And again, that's a living room with a kitchen inside it, and you go up to a first floor bedroom, which is existing, and then again up again, and it uses the double bedroom in the roof. Both of those bedrooms have bathrooms available to it, so that's one of the two bed units. And the final unit is to the rear of the property, so that has again its own independent access that comes into a kitchen dining room. This unit has a separate living room, and you go upstairs and above it you have two bedrooms again with bathroom facilities. To the rear, the garage is being altered, and the garage doors have been taken off and internal walls removed to create a carport. Now, what that does is it provides the internal measurements to meet the off-road parking standards for two spaces. So there's two spaces, and then the existing yard is being converted to a communal area with storage for bins and secure cycle storage. So these are the elevational drawings. So as you can see, there's no change at all to the front elevation. And to the rear elevation, you've got the proposed extension. As you can see from this, it's got the much lower height than the existing property, and the windows obtained by a dormer, which you can see from this side elevation just here. As you can see, there's the two doors for units 2 and units 3. So, the relevant policies are set out on pages 19 and 21 of your report. The local highway authority have commented, along with third parties, and all of those are summarised on pages 21 and 22 of the report. So if we move over to the key considerations, as you know, all planning applications must be considered on their own merits and determined in accordance with the development plan unless material considerations indicate otherwise. The site lies in Anstey, which is designated as a service centre under policy CS1, and therefore the principle of residential development in this location is considered acceptable. In terms of design, the only external alteration is the two-storey extension to the rear, which replaces the existing single-storey extension. It's considered by officers that this extension would be subservient, being set down from the existing property, and also, because of the matching materials, we think that the appearance of that is acceptable in accordance with the development plan policies. With regards to neighbour amenity, the proposed extension wouldn't contravene any loss of light, and also we don't consider, given the position of windows, that it would result in any loss of privacy to any neighbouring properties. In terms of impact relating to noise, the property is currently in use as a residential property and it would remain such, albeit with an intensification of that use being subdivided to 3. However, we think this is a relatively minor intensification and there won't be such a significant impact in terms of noise and disturbance that planning permission could be justifiably refused, and therefore we consider that in terms of neighbouring amenity, the impact, the proposal is also in accordance with policies CS2 and EV1. Moving on to the highway safety and parking, as you know, the existing property is a four-bed house with no parking. Now, for a four-bed house, the recommended standards is 3 off-street parking spaces. So currently there's an underprovision of 3 off-street parking spaces. Under the new proposal, the recommended parking standard is 5 off-street parking spaces, and only 2 are provided. So it results in the same underprovision as what is currently present. And on that basis, the Highway Authority has recommended that there isn't a community impact from the development and it wouldn't result in severe harm to the highway network in accordance with the guidance in the new MPPF. And for that reason, they do not object to the application and they feel that the application is acceptable in highway terms. It's in accordance with para 108 of the new MPPF. So on that basis, we've concluded that the impact on highway is acceptable also. So for all of those reasons and set out in the report, we feel the application is acceptable. It creates smaller units, which the housing studies have shown is in demand in the local, in Charnwood area, and therefore we recommend it for approval subject to the conditions set out in the report.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the presentation, Jackie. We only have one speaker, and that's Councillor Deborah Taylor. You've spoken to us before, Councillor Taylor, so you know the drill. When you're ready.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you for allowing me to speak and taking the time to hear this application. I'm sure most of the committee here this evening know the levels of problems we have in Anstey with parking and traffic. This application is to convert a four-bedroom family home into three flats. The total number of bedrooms provided within all the three flats is five. My only concern with this conversion is the lack of on-site parking provided. The guidance states that there should be five off-road spaces. This conversion provides two off-street parking spaces, so there is a shortage of three spaces. I note that the report states that there is already a shortage of three spaces with this property, but that is historic, and this property would not be given planning permission to build now with the lack of on-site parking provision, so do not think that information is relevant. As I've already stated, the current property is a four-bedroom family home, and if it was sold on the open market today, it's highly likely that a family with children would purchase the property. This would mean that there would probably be two vehicles parked at the property. As the proposed plans state, the garage will be demolished and two carports provided. This could also happen if the property was sold as a four-bedroom home, meaning all cars would be parked off-road. The proposed application for three flats, one with one bedroom and two with two bedrooms, are unlikely to be occupied by families, but by couples. If, for example, a minimum of three couples occupies all the flats and have two vehicles each, that is a minimum of six vehicles. With just two on-site parking spaces, this is pushing four vehicles onto street parking. There are also no details about who has a right to park in these two on-site parking spaces. I've witnessed many neighbours' arguments about a perceived right to park outside their property. I could see this erupting into major disputes between residents of these proposed flats, especially if any work vehicles are added into the equation. On the site visit today, you will have seen that this property is right on the corner of Woodgum Road and Edward Street. You will have also seen the levels of on-street parking. As you have visited in the daytime, you have not seen the levels of parking in the evenings and weekends when most people are at home. The access to this property from the Nook is generally up Highfield Street and then two 90-degree blind corners into George Street and then Edward Street. The point made in the report that it is close to the centre of Anstey and bus routes is positive, but this does not accept that the majority of people also have vehicles that need to park somewhere. I would like the applicants to reconsider the layout of the proposed conversion and look at adding more on-site parking spaces. The proposal as it is not acceptable due to the amount of on-street parking that will be added to this area that is already over capacity. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. I have two speakers so far. I have Councillor Bentley and Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Bentley, please.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Well, we understand about the parking provision, but there is actually now two parking spaces that will meet current guidelines rather than none. So actually that's actually a benefit. And there's a lot of like small units around there, and we can't control who occupies them. There's clearly a need for that sort of housing in that area. So I have no problem whatsoever in moving officer recommendation.
I'll second that, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Bentley. And you are seconding Councillor Lowe. Do you wish to speak after Councillor Tillitzer? Thank you. Councillor Tillotson, please.
Thank you, Chair. When we visited today, the street was indeed very busy, as Councillor Taylor has said, and obviously it will be worse in the evening. I do think this is overdevelopment. The smallest of these units is going to be very small, and yet it's going to accommodate as a total of potentially six or even eight people. I'd prefer to see two properties rather than the three, so I won't be supporting the officer recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Lowe, please.
Thank you, Chair. I am supporting this application. Whilst I understand that there is a traffic issue, you know, I've got five people living in my house and I've got five cars parked on my street, all belonging to me, and I'm a family. You know, it's not like I'm flat. The only one issue I have got is, and perhaps the officers can tell me, where are the bins going to be stored?
If I take you back to the plan, when I said that they were retaining the yard, that is specifically so they can provide parking and bin storage off-street, and it's behind the wall. If I take you back to the photo, it's behind this wall, and that wall will be being kept through, and so they'd access it through that existing gateway.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Snow, please.
Chairman, thank you. I think we living locally, we do understand the issues around parking, and we did see that today when the coach or the bus couldn't actually get through and we had to stop and walk up. The one thing for me is that the local highway authority have also confirmed that they have no objections to the proposed development. And I think once we've seen that, it is very difficult for us to object to that. The one thing that I just and Councillor Taylor brought it up, there'll be two parking spaces. Will they be designated to certain properties? Because I can see there's going to be a few difficulties there otherwise. It's just for interest, really.
I don't have that information. I would presume so, but it would be a private matter that they would that would happen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was on the bus this afternoon and I did see the tight corner, and I must agree with Councillor Taylor and Councillor Tillotson that if they actually not have the three flats and contain it down to two, and I know I can't be judgmental on this, but it would work out a lot better, and the traffic was horrendous even at that time in the afternoon, and that is my opinion, not anybody else's, okay?
Thank you, Councillor Ranson. Are there any... Right, can I see... Councillor Seaton, and you wish to come back, Councillor Bentley? Well, I'm going to allow... Ladies first, I'm going to allow Councillor Seaton, because she put her hand up.
It's really a bit of clarification after Councillor Taylor, what she said about something being historic. The four-bedroomed... house that is there now, the suggestion was that the car parking spaces, the planning permission for that property would not happen now because it hasn't got enough parking spaces for a four-bedroomed house. It needs three off-road parking spaces. So I know we are where we are, but does that... I remember them going, the County Council putting another one through at planning application, and they counted on the historic use of land. So what I'm trying to say is now the County Council have made their plan of saying anything over four bedrooms... Is it four bedrooms needs three or more, and under that. So if they are split individually, does that make a difference?
Yeah, so that's why, so take two elements in turn. So just be, we've had the suggestion that just because if that was now, it wouldn't get permission. Obviously, that's a different consideration. We'd have to consider its proximity to the local centre and bus routes and things. What we do have to consider is if the demand on parking, what harm the proposed dwelling will have on parking over and above the existing demand, and whether that results in severe impact. So the fact that there is a four-bedroom there is relevant because we're comparing the impact. What was the second question? Sorry. Oh, yes, bedrooms. So in terms of bedrooms, the existing four-bed would require, it is recommended it has three spaces. For the flats, the two-bedroom flats, we'd be looking at two spaces, and the one-bedroom flat, we'd be looking at one space. That's why I said that the recommended standard would be five parking spaces. It's only providing three, so this also has an under-provision of three. So both the existing situation and the proposed both have an under-provision of three. I hope that makes sense.
No, because it has two parking.
Yes. Yeah, so if you take... Yeah, so... If it,
one is three and one is four. An under-provision of...
No. The existing house should have a provision of three parking spaces, and that's not provided. The proposal should have five, and two are provided, which still leaves an under provision of three. So that...
Thank you. I now have Councillor Bentley, followed by Councillor Grimley. Councillor Bentley, please.
It was just a quickie. We were talking earlier about how difficult it was to get the coach round those streets. I don't think those streets were actually ever designed to take such size vehicles, to be fair.
Councillor Grimley, please.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. On the existing property at the moment, it has two spaces, although substandard. That's correct, isn't it? And it would actually need three if it was for planning permission for a new house like that. Yeah.
That would be the recommend.
So at the moment, it's got a deficiency of one parking space, in effect. No, the existing house.
May I take this? Because I'm sure the officers are getting fed up with this one. I'm sorry. The two garages that exist are not usable.
Sorry, they're substandard, aren't they? They can be used.
Never mind whether they're substandard or not. They're not usable for car parking.
Can I bring it in order, Chair? I don't think the council should be debating this amongst
themselves. No. Can we have things through the chair, please? Okay. Yes. And Councillor Grimley, I will come back to Councillor Bentley. Councillor Grimley, do you have another point that you wish to raise with the officers?
Well, I think the point is, although they're substandard spaces that it's got at the moment, there are spaces, a lot of properties within the borough do have substandard spaces and still being used. And before, on other applications, there's been an argument that, especially extensions, that although a garage might be substandard, it can still be counted as a parking space.
Okay, let me... try and clarify. There are two garages. Now, whether you want to, that's a material fact. In planning terms, we do have what's
what are classed as usable sizes that are recommended in the standard advice from county. And the advice is if a parking space doesn't meet that size, we shouldn't count it in our planning consideration as an off-street parking space. So in this case, that's what we've done. We've said that they don't meet current standards, but we have highlighted to you that they are there. So, you know, you need to be aware, you know, mindful of that.
Thank you. So there are two garage spaces there. They are substandard, but they are there. Thank you.
You, Councillor Babington. No, you, there's a point that you wish to clarify.
I thought I'd done my bit. I don't want to repeat it. Thank you, Chair.
For my own personal satisfaction, are the current garages... Are the current garages actually now, at this moment, usable as garages?
Current garages, as we saw them today, do not meet the highway recommended space standards.
Thank you. Sir Tassel, please.
Maybe I got the wrong impression this afternoon, but I understood the dividing wall between the two garages was going to be taken down, the doors off and made into carports. Am I right or wrong?
Yes, that's right. So... obviously, with the wall there, it restricts the space. If you've got two tandem parking spaces with no walls, then the measurements are slightly different. And by changing the internal arrangements and making them carports, it would meet the County Council's standard size for a carport for two cars by doing the proposed works.
Right. So then, if that worked, when that work has taken place, there will be two parking spaces on site and the rest would be road parking. Would any other councillor like to speak at this stage, please? Very well. I will go to the vote. Councillor Bentley has proposed that we accept officer's nomination and that has been seconded by Councillor Lowe. May I have a show of hands, please, in favour of officer's recommendation? May I have a show against, please? Officer's recommendation is carried. Thank you. Thank you, colleagues. We come to the third and final item on the agenda. And actually, it's a very interesting item. The number is P/18/1251/2. Bishop Ellis, Roman Catholic Primary School, Barkbythorpe Lane, Thurmaston. Are you going to lead on this, Jackie? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. So, this application is for the erection of a new school building following the demolition of the existing building. also includes the installation of new hard surfacing, games courts, landscaping and associated works. For clarity, the replacement school is a like-for-like school replacement. It's not a larger school. It doesn't increase pupil or staff numbers. It's just replacing the existing school that is at the end of its usable life. The application has been brought to Plans Committee as it's the opinion of the Head of Planning and Regeneration that the application is of significant public interest. And that's because of the site constraints, including the contamination of the site. So, just to help members locate themselves, Bishop Ellis School is located on Barpythorpe Road. Immediately to the west of the application site here is Thurmaston Shopping Centre, with Asda on the opposite side of the road. And then to the north of the site, you've got a residential caravan park. And then to the east, south and southwest, you have residential properties. The site currently consists of two distinct areas. The front of the site is the location of the school, with the playing fields at the rear, and it's separated in the centre by the playground and a selection of porter cabin classrooms. Trees generally board the site, which we saw today. And the site does suffer from subsidence, but in land use terms, the site is relatively flat, and the parking is to the front of the site, immediately adjacent to the access. So it's just an aerial photograph to help you locate yourself. Here's a few photos of the existing site. So this is the front of the site, just as you enter. You can see here the undulating land immediately to the front door, that is caused by the subsidence. So it just shows some of the subsidence issues that the school is facing. This is the driveway that goes down the eastern side of the site, and that driveway will remain and be taken further to the new school building. This is the building to the rear, and the playground area. Obviously, you can see those portable classrooms that I was talking about. And then beyond those portable classrooms, you have the playing fields. This is the south of the site, so there's residential properties behind these trees, and those trees will be staying. And this is looking towards the east, towards the residential properties on Highway Road. Looking in the opposite direction, this is the end of the units at the Thurmaston Shopping Centre, and then you have a row of relatively new residential buildings, which are the closest residential buildings to the scheme that's going to be put in front of you. And then just to help, that's the access. The access isn't proposed to be changed in any way. So the new school is to the front of the property. The existing school is to the front. The new school will be built to the rear on the playing fields. And that is to allow the new school to be built before the demolition of the existing school, meaning that the children can remain on site and the school doesn't have to be accommodated off the site. This access, like I said, it's an existing access, will be slightly widened and brought down to the new school. Originally, the proposal was to build the school here on the playing ground and leave the field as it was. But through the process of the design work, there were substantial investigations in terms of contamination and soil, and it was found that the whole site needed to be treated for the remediation because of contamination. Therefore, that changed the proposal. So what they're doing is capping and remediating the back of the site and building the school. Then they will knock the old school down and do exactly the same to the front, replacing the playing provision at the front of the site. So the application obviously includes the demolition. Demolition does require planning permission as part of this consideration. So that just shows all the buildings that's being demolished. The only building that isn't is the bungalow at the front that remains. This is the layout plan. So as you can see, the car parking remains the same at the front of the property, and access. Then you have the school to the rear. You have a multi-surface games area to the south of the school, but the majority of the playing area and outdoor spaces to the front. You will have traditional playground material immediately to the front. You've got another multi-use surface with running track and court next to it, and a five-a-side pitch on a grass court as well to the front. As we've said, there's a lot of trees on the site. This plan, what this plan does is it shows the existing trees in green, shows the trees to be removed in red, and all of the black ones are the proposed trees. You'll see from the report there are a number of trees being lost, particularly down the sides here, due to operational construction reasons, but they're all being fully replaced very tightly to regain that privacy and provide some screening. There is also more trees going back into the site than what are being taken off, and the numbers are in the application. So that's just the same plan again. These are the proposed drawings. It is going to be a two-storey school with a smaller footprint. It brings all of the teaching spaces, including all those porter cabins, into the one building. So this is front elevation and the side facing towards the east. These windows here are to the hall, so they're high-level windows. They're not that you can't look out of them. And this is the rear elevation, and this is the windows to the west. Again, these are to stairwells, they're not to classrooms. So it's to, and there's no other windows to protect neighbouring amenity. In terms of the layout, you have your hall and your studio on the ground floor, along with all of your infant classrooms and reception years and your entrance, and then all junior classrooms and other teaching spaces, special education spaces, are all at first floor, along with facilities for teachers in terms of their areas as well as on the first floor. So just to help you visualise it, because it is going to be a big change to the site, there's some photo montages. So the new school is sort of in this location. Once constructed and completed, this is how it would look from that access road. The access road wouldn't be open to people. You know, it would be gated at the bottom because of safe entrance in, but there is disabled parking spaces up near the door. Oops, sorry. This is from standing within the playground area and the playing field areas, looking back towards front of the school. This outside the school gate is just to help you envisage its position back in the site. That's just a closer up one. So if I just quickly run you through the key considerations. The application site is located within the limits to development, and there is strong emphasis in the MPPF, particularly in paragraphs 92 to 94, where it states facilities and services should be able to develop and modernise, and great weight should be given to this, along with the benefits to the community. Given the policy stance and the fact that the site is already used for a school, it's considered the principle of development is acceptable. We know that the current site, the school, is at the end of its usable life. Structural engineers have confirmed this, and the school has obtained a grant from the Department of Skills and Education for the rebuild, and they are the applicants that are bringing this forward. So this will replace and modernise that. In terms of the design, we feel that it's a contemporary design with a simple palette of material. And although large, given the use of materials and the design, it won't look overly imposing in the landscape. There is a loss of existing playing fields. However, what's being put back in has a high capacity. It's going to be marked out and has multi-use areas. And Sport England have confirmed that they are happy with the provision and they have no objection to the application. They have requested a number of conditions, and one of which you'll see from the extras report, what I am recommending is split into two conditions, and that's just to help aid enforcement and clarity going forward. It doesn't actually change what the condition, the provision of the condition was, and that change has been agreed with Sport England. Concerns have been raised regarding the internal layout of the building by third parties. However, we are, as officers, we feel that the building is well thought out and would provide a much improved teaching facility over the existing for future, current and future pupils and staff. In terms of landscape and ecology, as you saw, many trees, as many trees as possible have been integrated into the proposal, but there will be a loss of 31 trees. This is regrettable, but in order to deliver the scheme, we do feel that it is necessary, and all of them are classified in the tree report as low-value trees. They're going to be replaced by 44 trees across the site, mainly along the perimeters of the site to provide extra screening, but also internally to soften its impact. We've also considered ecology and feel the impact on ecology is acceptable. In terms of neighbouring residential amenity, the building will be situated it will be 7.1 metres from the nearest boundary of the site, but the distances between the buildings meets the space between building standards. So the closest property, as I said, was to the west. The distance between the proposed side flank elevation and the main habitable rooms of those dwellings is 13.5 metres. Our recommended distance in the adopted guidance is 12.5 metres. As such, based on this, we don't feel that we can justify a reason for refusal on overdominance, especially given that it's a flat roof design and not a two-storey gable envisaged in that policy. The windows have been placed so in a way that we don't feel that there'll be significant loss of privacy. And although it's closer to residential properties, given the existing use of the site and the fact that that was the playground and playing fields area, we don't feel that there'll be an unacceptable level of noise and disturbance. There has been a noise impact assessment submitted with the application, and all of the recommendations set out in that report have been fully integrated into the design of the proposal in terms of the building fabric. In terms of flooding and drainage, obviously because of the constraints of the site, particularly the contamination, soakaways and sustainable urban drainage isn't acceptable on the site, and so all drainage has to go through traditional methods and drainage. That's been carefully considered by both the Leeds Local Flood Authority and the Environment Agency, and they are now content with the application. They made no objections subject to the conditions which are all set out in the report. In terms of highway safety and servicing, there's going to be no increase in the demand for parking. It's exactly the same size school being replaced. The parking is also not being altered, nor is the access. And on the basis that there won't be an increase, there's no increase in capacity, and that all spaces are being retained, the local highway authority has raised no objections. The proposal also includes secure cycle parking facilities, both for students and staff, and this is secured by condition. The final issue that needs to be conditioned is obviously contamination and public safety. There is a lot of information that has been submitted with the application, much more than we would normally expect for a planning application. A lot of things that we would perhaps ask for post-decision have been done beforehand, including construction method statements and strategies. This has all been very carefully considered by the Borough Council's environmental health officers, who is content and has confirmed that the information and recommendations regarding the mitigation is acceptable, and they raise no objections with this regard, subject to the conditions which are in your report. Accordingly, we consider that the mitigation is acceptable and the proposal complies with policy. So on that basis, it's considered by officers that the proposal would have no significant adverse impact on either the amenity of neighbours or the character and appearance of the area. The new school proposed would provide a significant improvement to the existing facility and the benefits of both the current and future pupils, staff and nearby residents. The application has been able to demonstrate the contamination issues on the site can be successfully mitigated, and for those reasons, it's recommended permission is granted, subject to the conditions in the report and taking account of the amendment in the extras report to those conditions.
Thank you for that, Jackie. So far, I have five speakers, and they are in order: Councillors Bentley, Bebbington, Ranson, Tillotson, and Campsall. So I'll begin with Councillor Bentley, please.
Move officer recommendation.
I'm sorry, who seconded? Councillor Seaton, thank you. Councillor Bebbington, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not going to be quite as brief as Councillor Bentley, but I do totally agree with him. It's fairly obvious the existing buildings are not structurally sound, have to be replaced. It's fairly obvious that this type of building was typical of the late 60s, early 70s. They obviously had a problem when they built it, because there are all sorts of external schoolrooms that were built shortly after the place was put up. They've obviously had that problem since the start. We've been told that the cost of actually repairing it and making it usable is not feasible to do it. It's not tenable. I think they've got an excellent opportunity, and when you look at the new design, I think overall the site is significantly better than what you've got there at the moment. There are obviously problems, and I can understand why they put so much effort into the constructability of this. Quite frankly, small children and construction sites do not go well together. So it's fairly obvious that they need to put a lot of effort in. So I strongly support the motion that's been proposed to go with officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Bebbington. Councillor Ranson, please.
I also would like to go with the proposal on the table, but one caveat I'd like to put in is on page 31, which is actually consultation with the local parish council as the actual build goes on, because they're the ones people who will get the complaints if there's anything. So it's on page 31, and it's Thurveston Parish Council's comments. I would like us to safeguarding the children while the building and the neighbouring people. Okay, thank you.
Jackie, please.
Yeah, I can't insist that this consultation, it doesn't meet the test. What I can do is I can put an informative onto the end of the permission to encourage the applicant to do it. But given it's a community school, I'm sure, you know, by the nature of it, they're want to do that, but I'll put an informative encouraging them to do that, if that's sufficient. There's also a few conditions around the construction method statements covering a variety of things, and that is to make sure that sufficient safeguards are in place.
Thank you.
I'm going to do it in order. Councillor Tillotson, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, there's a lot to recommend this application. It's clearly essential. It's good to see that children are not going to be taught in porter cabins anymore, which is obviously far from ideal. And I think even though there's less sports facility area, it looks to me like the sports facilities are going to be improved, so that's all great. I've got a couple of questions, though. It's a two-storey building. Is there disabled access to the first floor? Is my first question. I don't know whether officers can answer that.
If members just have a look, you'll see here it says lift.
Thanks, that's great then. There's been a common thread between all applications this evening about parking. And on page 32, one of the third party representations, the last one in fact, says current site suffers from lack of parking. And you said, Jackie, that the status quo has been retained, same number of parking spaces. Do we know anything about that? Do we know if there is a lack of parking? And if there is that something that they should address at the same time as doing this redevelopment?
Okay. The parking is staying the same. And with all schools, I'm sure there's congestion at certain points of time, particularly drop-off and pick-up. There is no parent parking, so there's no drop-off space or pick-up space. However, that is an existing problem, and we can't, ask them. It would be nice if they solved it, but we can't require them to solve existing problems. So it would be very difficult to shape a refusal reason about that. Also, given the site is so tight, what you'd be taking away is even more sports facilities. And Sport England just wouldn't go for that for a car park that's used a few times, for a congestion problem that's limited to, a short period during weekdays. So, the advice from the Highway Authority and from us as officers is that that isn't a refusal reason.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have seen it as a reason for refusal. I was just wondering whether it's something that we could, I'm assuming it's going to be approved, that we could say to them that perhaps they could look at that if they believe there is an issue. And I wasn't meaning so much for parents picking children up, but if there isn't enough space for the current number of staff, then perhaps it is something they could look at, not losing any space, but find a way of reconfiguring the spaces. I'm not sure that that's possible, and certainly I wouldn't see it as a reason for refusal.
Okay, I now have Councillor Campbell, please.
Yeah, just a few comments and queries. Removal of 31 trees, it says these are considered to be low-value trees. So what's a low-value tree? It says there are no Category A trees and only one Category B tree. Well, I've never heard that before since I've been on this committee. Can you tell me what a Category A tree is and a Category B tree is? And also, down to the ecology report, we've not seen that, have we? So is there any bats there, any badgers there? What they're taking out or what they're putting back in, will that make the biodiversity better? Thank you.
I'll take each point in time. There has been a full tree report survey done. That's same as if there was any development removing trees. And if you were to look in that, what they do is those tree reports have arboriculturalists that will grade the trees. So A being the best quality tree, B being the second, then C, and then that's it. So C is the lowest grade. And they not only look at the quality of the tree, but they look at the lifespan of the tree. So B we would try and retain if we could. It's not the lowest category of tree. But there's only one of them being lost. All the Category A's are being kept. Category C or less, let's say just have a general, have either poor structure and an infection or something that means that they have a limited lifespan of less than 10 years. That's normally along those lines. So they're obviously, if we're going to keep trees, we want to keep the best specimens of trees. So they submitted this information. It was looked at by our senior landscape architect who agreed and was happy with the trees that they were removing and the replacement of those. In terms of the ecology, obviously the site is used as a school, which limits the ecology in the area. So there's no protected species. And also because of the contamination, that obviously limits it as well. So there's no protected species being lost. There are species of ecology there, but nothing that's protected. The majority of which are in that tree belt at the south of the site, and that's being kept going forward. So our senior ecologist was happy with the findings of those reports.
Just wanted to know, are they going to put native stuff in to encourage wildlife? Also, you mentioned if trees are diseased. Well, I was down at Windsor the other week and I couldn't believe how many rotten trees he'd left standing, because they're better for wildlife than some living trees. But and also, can I just mention about the contamination? What's so contaminated? Is it safe for the kids?
Okay. Contamination comes from the historic use of the site. So before it was school, it was a landfill site. That's where the contamination comes from. The proposal, this is why the proposal has changed so much, because originally they were going to keep the playing fields, given the amount of investigation and what they've found. The plan is now to cap the whole site to make sure that that's properly dealt with, and that's what we've had environmental health comments on. In terms of the trees, they will be trees that are suitable for the ground conditions, so that will limit the type of trees a little bit, but they'll be appropriate for the size they can grow and also the ground conditions to make sure that they can establish and they won't breach some of those capping issues that the site being capped.
No native trees going in or native edging?
There will be some, but it won't all be native.
Thank you. Still have several speakers. I have Councillor Bentley, Councillor Snow, and Councillor Lowe. I'll come back to you. You didn't put your hand up. My apologies. Councillor Snow, then Councillor Lowe. Councillor Snow, please.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Very quickly, I support the officer recommendation. I believe it's great news for the pupils and the teachers at that school. The environment will certainly be better and be a better learning place, totally. Pleased that the trees will be replaced after construction, and hopefully they will support some native species as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Stott. Councillor Lowe, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to support this application. I am very surprised that the school just hasn't decided to find a new site, to be fair, and bigger and better with better access, because there's plenty of new sites around, and there will be some with the core strategy being built in there as part of the SUE. I think we've got three schools being built in that at the moment, or will have in 50 or 60 years' time. the only thing that really concerns me about this is the environmental issues, and I'd like to ask the officers, will we be monitoring the environmental issues? Will the county be monitoring? Because you're going to have little Billy being dropped off at school at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to have workers walking around with breathing apparatus and things like that, and that does worry me. I know it's maybe not a planning restraint or a planning issue, but little Billy's mum and dad are not going to be best pleased, and I, for one, want to know who to go to when their parents are ringing me up complaining.
So, do we have an answer, please, Jackie?
Yeah, so there are substantial conditions placed for that sort of reason, because we want to make sure both the construction and the site after it's constructed are safe. It would fall to our environmental health officers to advise us, and if there was any concern, then that would be the case. It would also could fall to the Health and Safety Executive. I have notified them of the application and they were content at this time. They didn't make any comments. So if it was about the construction, whether they were controlling the removal of the asbestos correctly or anything like that. If you came to us, we could look into that. It's conditioned. We can go out either enforce through environmental health or enforce through the planning conditions. We've also asked for verification reports to be done on completion of the development. So that means they have to employ someone completely independent to come in and verify that all of the mitigation has been fully completed. And that's an independent check, so that they're not just saying to us, "Oh, we've done it." You know, we've actually have those full reports. If it's an operational thing, so if the management of the school you feel is unsafe, then that would be a county issue because it's a county-run school. They're very different things, but they slightly overlap. But if it's about the construction and the contamination, then it would be our environmental health.
Back on that, Chair. So if little Billy's, who's five, parents ring one of our councillors up and has concerns that little Billy's going to school with all these men wearing these spacesuits, whilst they're digging the site up in order to get rid of everything, is that us?
We have conditioned that we get all full details of how they plan to construct it and all safety measures that they are taking, and we want to approve that to make sure that they are suitable. And then once we've approved it, and that would be on the advice of our experts in environmental health, they are conditioned to have to follow that strictly. So, yeah, it would be as...
I'm not being awkward, Chair, promise. I'm not on this application. Maybe the first one I was. It just concerns me that, you know, little Billy's parents are going to want to talk to somebody. Now, it's all right, we could put loads of conditions down. We can write everything down, but they're going to want to talk to somebody. Now, can I give them your number, Jackie?
We have, as officers, exactly the same concerns, and that's why the developers have been made to do a substantial amount of work before they even submitted the application, so that our environmental health officers knew exactly what they were dealing with, exactly what's in the soil, exactly what depths, and we have that information, and that gives us a very good prospect to go forward. There's also a condition that the Environment Agency has insisted we put on that says if anything's found that we weren't expecting, they have to stop immediately and come and tell us and agree that mitigation. I think they've been so thorough, I would be very surprised if that was the case, but that is there as a safeguard as well.
Hello, thank you, Jackie. I have Councillor Seaton and then Councillor Tillotson again. Councillor Seaton, please.
Thank you, Chair. Drop-off points. There is a drop-off point across the road with Asda when Asda was first built. It was part of their loading and unloading bay was left over for the parents to be able to drop off. That has fallen by the wayside a little bit because staff tend to park there as well. That is because the parents are parking in the shopping centre. So they're going to Marx's and buying the dinner before they pick up the kids. As to the capping, they are the thing that concerns me, and nothing to stop this. And I've got two interests that probably I should declare. One is my children went to Bishop Ellis and thoroughly hated it. But that's by the by. And the other one is Councillor Lowe, myself, and Councillor Brooks were called in to Charnwood to go through this aspect of whether the public would be concerned. And really, Charnwood then wanted to assure us that it all, you know, all the I's have been dotted, T's have been crossed. And very sadly, I have read only one of the reports, because there was a load, and that was on the contamination. So what's the main concern for me is the traffic whilst the construction's going on, because we are going to, they are going to move, I think it's 80 centimetres, it might even be 40, it's something around that, of soil. from the whole area. So that is going to be removed, and then it's going to be capped with concrete to that depth so that nothing can come through. That it's not airborne, so it is contained within the soil. I understand it is being, the whole site is being lidded and screened from the school. Lidded might not be a good word there. Strike that. So going through the report, it looked very in-depth, lots and lots of words that I didn't understand, and I Googled, and I still don't understand them, but there you go. And I think if there was any problem, we would go to the construction site there, because there will be a health and safety officer on that site at all times. The school have carried out consultation, full consultation, and explained it, but they did not explain that there would be men suited and booted, because that is the working conditions. We've argued over many, many years for our employees and workers to be safeguarded, and it might be over the top, but that's what their safeguarding is going to be. So they're going to be in the white suits. And but as I say, the concern for me is the, I don't know how many lorry loads will be moving along an already congested site for a very, very long period. So that's the bit that worries me, and the traffic maintenance there as well. But I welcome this. Why on earth it wasn't built opposite where Bellway was going to build, I don't know. But we would have always had the problem, because that land needs dealing with. And it's the same as Asda, when Asda was built as well, except that wasn't capped. But there was loads and loads of soil removed there as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin Steaton. Jackie, do you want to respond, please?
Just to say that there is a construction traffic management plan required under condition 7, so that can be managed, those issues.
Councillor Tillotson, please.
Yeah. My question's about decontamination too, particularly in relation to demolition of the existing building. Do we know if there is asbestos in the building? We know there isn't, or no, we don't know. Right, no. In the soil, right, okay. Because what I was wondering was, is it possible for a lot of the worst of the decontamination to take place during the summer, next summer, whenever, whichever summer, depending on their timescale, so that there aren't children on the site for major part of their work, and could we insist on that, possibly?
Thank you, Councillor Senegam. Would you like to respond, Jackie, please?
Yes, I can. In my opinion, it would not be an acceptable situation to be asking the developer, the school, to wait, in effect, another year before commencing the development. The school is in a serious state of disrepair. There is ongoing issues with subsidence that gets worse quite regularly, you know, that even through the course of the application there is reports of another window not opening and things like that. If it needs to be, this building needs to be built urgently, else the children will have to find another place, and that's what we're being told. So the build time is very tight, and it's been planned so that it can be delivered as soon as possible. The construction and how it's going to be constructed has to be safe, not just for us, but also for the developers under the Health and Safety Executive. So they'll have their own health and safety officers on site. And also they have to protect their own employees and their own construction employees. So I don't think it's the solution to ask them to wait a year before even starting on the site.
Thank you for Jackie. Councillor wants to come back very quickly.
It's just a point that there is a plan B, although it's not been taken up at the moment, but Thurmaston Parish Council have Asda playing fields, Jubilee Park, across the way. So if there was a problem, we have offered at one time for them to use that. So it's probably something that they could, and they could also get into Roundhill School from there as well.
Thank you. Now, Councillor Campbell has his...
I'm a bit shocked what I've heard, really.
No,
I think I'll be abstaining from this. I want my kids to be there while this work's going on.
I will come back to you, Councillor Campbell, so you can say it properly. But would you raise your hand, please, if you would like to speak? Right. There is no one with the hand raised except Councillor Campbell, so I will ask Councillor Campbell to make his point, and then if no one else wishes to speak, I am going to go to the vote. Councillor Campbell, please.
Thank you very much. I think it would have been better built in a new place. I'm a bit worried about the contamination flying about in any high winds, and I'm glad my kids won't be there breathing it in. Thank you.
Do you wish to respond finally, Jackie, or...?
I'll just say very quickly, obviously, it is a very sensitive issue, and I do understand that it's very difficult for members. That's why it's come to Plans Committee. The experts on this front are environmental health, and my recommendation has been led by their comments, which is that what's being proposed is acceptable.
Right. I will ask again, does anyone wish to speak? I don't want to cut off the debate. Very well. We have a proposal that from Councillor Bentley that we accept officers' recommendation, and that proposal has been seconded by Councillor Seaton. Michael?
We also had a suggestion that there was an additional information point to be sent to the applicant regarding ongoing dialogue with Thurmaston Parish Council. I don't think we formally checked with the proposer and seconder that they were happy to add that to the proposal.
Councillor Bentley, Councillor Seaton, are you happy that Councillor Ranson's proposal be incorporated?
I'm happy, but they have consulted with us as well already, so that's, but I'm happy.
Thank you very much. Are we all clear then? Councillor Bentley, as proposed, we accept officers' recommendation. That has been seconded by Councillor Seaton with Councillor Ranson's amendment that Thurmaston, is it Parish Council, Town Council? Thank you, Parish Council, should be kept informed throughout the procedure. So may I see a show of hands for officers' recommendation, please? Can I see those against, please? Any abstentions? Thank you. Officer's recommendation is carried. And we then come to the fourth item in our agenda, which is...
Chair, could I just make a comment before you come to that, please?
Certainly.
I wasn't very comfortable with a member of the committee speaking down to another member of the committee. We're all here and we're all opinionated because we're councillors, and I felt very uncomfortable with the way the councillor was spoken to. I think we need to show just a little bit of respect for other people's opinions and other people's grasp of details. And if we want further clarification, we should be allowed to have it. Not all of us are clever, as some of them would like to think they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Yes, I think I would encourage all members to show respect to one another and We almost always do. So, so thank you all for your contribution tonight. It's been a very difficult meeting. And, yes, well done. And we come now. Yes, yes, yes. The officer, our beloved officer, Jeff Upton, is reminding us that we now need to look at this on your agenda. Delegated planning decisions made by Charnwood Borough Council since the last plans meeting. It is on page 49. All right, are there any comments or questions about any of the applications on page 49, please? Thank you, Councillor.
Chair, it's me again. But just a point of clarification. Have the ones that are being done under delegated decision, have they already been decided on? I mean, if one of us say, we don't want that to go on delegated decisions, could we alter that? Or is what is down here already happened? It's already happened.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah?
Please.
All right, thank you.
Page 50, please. Any comments on page 50? Page 51, any problems, any questions? That's it.
Can I just ask, Chair? I mean, I can't see the point of that. I think we've missed something there. When we wanted to see things being refused, I think we wanted to see the reasons why they refused rather than see the full list of the applications. Because we can't do anything anyway, even if we don't like the decision. But I would like to just highlight one thing to the officers, that when they're sending applications out now to members, they're all coming through in different formats. Mm. Now, I can't understand that. They're coming through as Word documents, PDFs, or they're coming through just a normal email. Am I the only one getting that, or is everybody else seeing the same? Can we unify it in some way, please? Or thank you.
Yeah, I'll pick that up with the team. Chair, it's Megan. The member hasn't spoken up, but so I will. I can't see the value in it. But there's one here that's gone through construction of three single-storey dwellings and apparently no parking with them. And that's gone through under permission is granted subject to conditions. Is it because they're single-storey? Don't they have to have parking with them? Or is the member telling me porcupines? Okay, yeah, it was. If you look at the report, it would explain it, and I would encourage you to go look at it. It's an application in Chepshed. It's a backland site in the centre. There isn't any off-street, so a balance had to be made. And given its proximity to the town centre, it wasn't considered the community impact or of the development or the individual impact on highway safety was severe, in line with Power 109. And therefore, the MPPF says it shouldn't be resisted. So that was the balance that the officers made. It is a balance. You know, obviously, it's a recommended standard and you have to balance that against other benefits. But I would encourage officer members to go read the officer's reports, and if you have any questions about the officer's report, then obviously you can talk to that case officer about it. Thank you. On our quarterly planning training, which I presume is next week, probably we could discuss what the value of this is, because it's probably a lot of officer hours for no reason. Thank you.
Councillor Bevington, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, this particular application is in my ward. Prior to leaving it to the officers decide, we actually went and had a chat with the officers, went to the site, had a look at it, discussed the implications and whatnot, and it came out that we were perfectly satisfied with what the officers had to say about it and left it at that. And that was why we left it as a delegated decision. If we were unhappy in any way, we would have called it in. But we didn't. We weren't unhappy, so we left it to the officers to decide. We realise this is unusual, but it's an unusual site, and it actually happens to have improved it using it for this purpose than what it was before. Thank you.
Councillor Babington, Councillor Tapp.
Councillor Babington has explained it adequately enough. Thank you very much.
Any comments from anyone else about the delegated planning consideration? Delegated planning decisions, please. If that's the case, can I thank you for your attendance and all your very hard work this evening, and I close the meeting at 7:40. Thank you very much.